All right. So, I wasn't expecting this to be on Mother's Day. So, judgmentalness and mothers do not coincide. So, and I don't have a really cool way to wrap it into motherhood or whatever. So, thank you to all the moms, especially our newest mom in the room. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So today we're continuing on the journey through Matthew, and we're on Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Is this working?
Yep.
Okay, cool. And we're talking, Christ is giving a warning about judgmental attitudes. So I just wanted to read Matthew 7, 1 through 6, which is what we're working with today. So he said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Here, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If they do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." I'm going to go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you for your truth and that it is all encompassed in one person. I thank you for the reading of your word today. I just pray that that your heart would be heard and that that you would speak through these words today to be able to understand your heart and how we are to see one another. Anything that is not of you, just let it disappear and blow away like the wind, and that you would plant your seed in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we'll go with the first point on there. If you have your the Belay app, the three points are on there and you can make notes. So the first one is don't be judgmental. So this whole chapter or this whole particular passage is about our attitude toward others and not being judgmental. So Jesus encouraged his hearers, I have writing so I might be reading. Jesus encouraged his hearers that their righteousness should surpass that of the Pharisees. So in Matthew 5:20, he said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So, and then he went on to talk about tithing and on loving your enemies and not hating other people because that was equivalent to murder. He talked about marriage and our view towards belongings, material things. And it was all to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees, that the heart of the law went deeper than what they were expressing. So when it comes to not being judgmental, the word judge means to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong, to pronounce judgment, to subject to censure, which means blaming or condemnation. So in this case, judgment is an attitude of condemnation, superiority, judgmentalism. And he was using the Pharisees as an example. So can you guys think of any examples in scripture where Pharisees were judgmental in a superior way towards other people? Any examples that come to mind? Yeah?
They were judging Jesus by him sitting with sinners and dining with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The woman caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm. What was judgmental about that? I know it sounds...
So, from my understanding, she was dragged out, like, during the act. They were prepared to stone her, which was according to the law. And they also kind of wanted to entrap Jesus at the same
mm-hmm.
time.
Right, yeah.
And the man wasn't being judged.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Where was he? Oh.
The one working on Sunday, the Pharisees,
right?
Cornering
them. Yeah, don't help people on the Sabbath because that's going against the law. What do you notice? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I always think of
the one praying in the temple, you know, I'm not like,
I'm
thankful I'm not like these other
sinners, right? These other lowly worms. What do you hear in those situations? What's missing?
Love.
Yeah, huge. Love, grace, relationship, this connection with people. So they were heartless. So they had all of the appearance of righteousness, but they didn't have any of the heart, which is the intent of the law. Christ himself said that the law is summed up in two ways. One, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So love and loving towards God and others is the heart of all of the Ten Commandments that God passed down to Moses. And they were missing all of those. So if we're to like push this forward, where do you see this now? That judgmental, superior attitude. Let's just kind of pick at the world. Out in the world, where do you see that judgmental, superior attitude?
Social media.
Oh,
yeah. I'll talk about the comment section in the third part. So.
Next door?
Yeah.
The app.
The app. That, I mean, the app.
Right. Not those folks.
The church.
Okay, so where do we see it in the church? Because this is a really, really important part. How do we see the church doing it?
Well, I don't know if this is within the church, but this is from a world perspective. I've heard a lot, and I'm sure other Christians have. We are supposed to be perfect, which we're not. We're probably worse than other people.
We're still sinners.
Yeah. But the thing is, we're not trying to be perfect, but God knows that. But he says, be an example of me. So the only thing we can do is love.
Right.
But you know, we're still human. So.
We're still fallible. Because God is the only one who's perfect. And that's the expectation. The expectation that God had set was that he is the symbol of perfection and what we're supposed to be. We can't ever in this lifetime be that way. And so that's why we needed Christ. Christ came, died on the cross so that he could be our replacement, our substitute, so that we could then have relationship with the Father, because there's no way that we could ever attain to that, ever. What about, this might be a little controversial, but folks that are holding up signs at protests saying God hates blankety blank, whatever it might be. That to me is a really hurtful example of judgment in the church. Whether it's, won't go there. Yeah.
From like individual people of different religions, and they're the ones that are saying, well, you're going to go to hell because you're blank blank, or because you did this or did that. Mm-hmm. But God loves everybody. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of strong for us to say God hates. And really, it might be the people that, you know, follow God, but they're not doing it the right way. So they're becoming
right.
Very judgmental.
Budget, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hypocritical in the sense that we expect the world to act apart from Christ and the Spirit in ways that we don't even always follow through.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think on social media I see a lot of like this battle of like kind of like right versus left, and like people who are on the right, they're like, oh, the people on the left are like very degenerate and like participate in all these kinds of sinful behaviors, and like we're better because we don't do something. But I think Jesus was more interested in like what's in your heart. Not
right.
Just like the outward appearance, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like just because you don't do this outward sin, Jesus says if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. You know?
Right.
So I think,
yeah,
I think that's how we are a little hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Judgmental.
Yeah, his call for righteousness was beyond the law. It was the spirit of the law, of loving another person enough that I'm not going to look at them a certain way. I'm not going to hate them in this way. Yeah.
And purity culture in the church. And I think growing up I hear like a lot of people having horrible experiences with those two categories, especially women feeling like judged, and like how the church has treated not just women, but men and women, just based off of past sins or past experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Go back down to this. How is this, you mentioned this a little bit, Lynn, how is this a problem? Like, why would Christ bring this up?
I think it's a big problem because I always think of God's love and Christ is the same thing, and what they're trying to instill in the people, and then the people that individually go out and like become super judgmental or hateful towards other people that are different, it does create a huge problem because it's kind of the opposite of what God or Jesus would want. It actually kind of alienates a bunch of other people that don't follow.
Right.
It makes them not even want to be open to it.
Right.
So
it alienates people from.
More hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your actions reflect your heart, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it could be judgment on yourself, too.
Right. Usually is. this whole, the whole attitude of superior judgment, condemnation, runs contrary to really what the gospel preaches. The gospel is that there is only one who is righteous, and that's God. And he is the one that makes us righteous through the work that he does in our hearts once we come to him. We can't really achieve that on our own by our own works, because Ephesians talks about that we aren't saved by our own works, but by the grace of Christ. And I'm murdering that phrase, but and so we need to trust in Christ because he's the only one that is righteous and makes us righteous before God. So it really mars the gospel because it sets up this hierarchy that I'm, you know, up here, you're down here, and if you work hard enough, you can eventually achieve to where I'm at. And it prevents people from wanting to approach the gospel. It did then, because the Pharisees were high and mighty, and people were like, I can't ever get to that point, so why even try? And Jesus was saying, no, you don't want to be like that. You want to be like this. I do want to put a caveat in here that this particular verse is not saying don't be critical thinkers, don't be discretionary, because later on he talks about being able to judge someone or view someone based on their fruits. And so he said, watch out for false prophets, because the false prophets are going to bear bad fruit. And a good tree is going to bear good fruit, a bad tree is going to bear bad fruit. And so he does have some idea of being discretionary. And we don't just accept everybody and everything that everybody does. It's the approach that we have towards people and the attitude that we have towards people that matters. And we'll talk a little bit later about scriptures that discuss, you know, going to another brother who's caught in sin and restoring him. And that Proverbs says that a wound from a friend, which can be confrontation or difficult truth, you know, a wound from a friend can be trusted. But the whole point is it's about relationship and building a relationship with someone so you can speak those hard truths. Because God has boundaries. If we don't have boundaries, the world's in chaos. And so it doesn't say don't have boundaries, don't be discretionary, but be humble in how you're viewing these things. I wanted to read from the Blue Letter Bible. It's a really great app if you guys aren't familiar with it. It has a lot of commentaries and really good resources for studying the Bible. David Guzik said, "We break this command when we think the worst of others. We break this command when we only speak to others of their faults. We break this command when we judge an entire life only by its worst moments. We break this command when we judge the hidden motives of others. We break this command when we judge others without considering ourselves in the same circumstances. We break this command when we judge others without being mindful that we ourselves will be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Jesus did not prohibit the judgment of others. He only requires that our judgment be completely fair and that we only judge others by a standard we would also like to be judged by." Because you can guarantee that if I'm having harsh judgment towards someone else, I'm going to do the same thing. Probably later, I'm going to get judged in the same harshness. And so knowing that, okay, what am I expressing out to others? And am I willing to have the same expressed to me? The second point is, how do we do this? Like, how do we work on changing our attitude that might be judgmental towards others? And it's worry about yourself first. So I wanted to play a couple of videos really quick.
Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself.
Can I help?
No. You can help when we're on TV, okay? You can help when we're on TV.
Do you have distancing? Probably. You want me to help, Rose?
No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. This one's so gonna do that. You try! Worry about yourself! Oh, God!
See what you have to look forward to? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew 7:3-5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So Christ had a very interesting way of teaching this, and I wanted to show the example.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
So it was pretty common in, yeah.
I just had a question, so I was just watching that. So in that thing that we just watched, so if he removes the plank out of his eye, is it saying like then he has the right take the speck out of the brother's eye, or that's what my big question is. Because, I mean, I think we always have things within ourselves mm-hmm. that we can work on, and nobody's ever perfect. So
right.
Does anybody ever really truly remove the plank from their eye to be able to take the speck? Do you know what I'm saying? Or is that impossible?
I think because of Christ and his work in us, I think it's something we're called to as far as removing the plank from our own. We always have blind spots. But God wants to remove those because those are hindrances. Those are things that create barriers between our relationship and God, our relationship with other people. And God is wanting to create community. God is wanting to create unity. Now, if I'm going around looking for a speck in someone else's eye, chances are I haven't really removed the plank from my own. The point in this is worry about yourself first. Like, what is it in me that is causing me to stumble, maybe causing other people to stumble because of me? And I mean, if you think of like maybe someone who struggles with alcohol or addiction in some form, if they've gone through their own recovery and been able to find ways to not drink anymore or not, because it's a deadly disease, really. If it's not taken care of, it's fatal. And if they've worked on that, they're in a position to be able to help somebody else and say, hey, I can see that you're really struggling with this. And they might be willing and at the end of their rope that they want help.
We could have many, many at right. one point, and then all of a sudden,
right.
say somebody has alcohol problems and they have other problems, they could have 20 problems
right.
in their life. So they could have 20 separate planks to each issue. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
So is there ever like an end point to having a plank in your eye? Because we always have issues, like everyone has issues. So I get your example with like alcohol, say somebody's
mm-hmm.
got that under control,
mm-hmm.
able to specifically talk to somebody about that. So, like, how does that work?
We're never going to be perfect.
Exactly.
So, but it's a, for me, if I have someone that I care about, and again, this goes back to relationship. If I have someone that I've developed a long-term relationship with where there's trust, a wound from a friend can be trusted. I want someone to call me out on my blind spot if it's really causing a problem for me. It may hurt, but if I trust that person and I know that they have my best interests at heart, I'm going to hear what they say. And it might, you know, one moment I might not be open to it, but then the next moment I might think, yeah, you know, they're right. This is a problem for me and I need to get help in working about this. Because to allow someone that I care about to just continue to struggle and not come alongside them and help them, but not in this first way where it talks about superiority or judgment. It's like, I care about you and I want to be able to walk alongside you in this.
Would it be like God and Jesus would kind of tell you within yourself when that time is right to do? Like, because how does somebody know when the right time is or when they've actually removed the plank completely? You know, I guess by actions you could say, like, their behavior and stuff, but I just wonder if that's
something
that God would...
I think trusting in God's timing, because those are tough conversations to have, and they can be loving conversations. It's the attitude in which we do it, because it's not easy to hear hard things.
Yeah, I think too, like the Bible says, if you have like a grievance against against someone, it says like, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So I think a lot of times, like if there's going to be resentment or bitterness built up in your heart between you and a friend, it's best to get rid of that right away. Not if you're in the heat of your anger, like maybe take some time to just get to a calm place. If you can speak truth and love to a person though. But I think when it comes to those like things that could cause resentment or bitterness, that's probably best if you address mm-hmm. that quickly, I think.
And the point of this particular section in here is I need to worry about myself first. So it's not promoting, there might be other passages in scripture that talk about helping other brothers or sisters or whatever, but this one is like, worry about yourself first. What is it in me that God would like to remove? What's the plank? What's the blind spot? Because I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, brought something close where it feels like it takes up your entire vision. Well, you're going to see it in everybody around you. So if I spot it, I probably got it. And so if I'm being judgmental about a particular thing, I need to check and see, is that something that's in me that I need to be aware of that God wants to convict me of? And usually that's coming up if I'm feeling judgmental towards myself or if I'm, the things that I want to call out in other people are usually the things I hate about myself. Mm-hmm. And so I need to allow God to work through that. And then if he opens the door, great. But he wants to clean my side of the street first. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we're like asking questions and stuff, but I like this. I think one of the questions but I have like an answer to at the same time would be like, how do you know for yourself what the issue would be or if I have an issue? And then like my answer would be like, having a relationship with God is sometimes hard because he's not like necessarily visible like that. But I think conviction of Holy Spirit, like we just, there's a truth, there's like a deeper knowing, like a conscious awareness that he'll instill in us, like, around us, like, check yourself before you wreck yourself, you know, like, you shouldn't go down there, Naomi, like, I know he'll tell me before I do something dumb, you know, like, with the kids, don't put your hand in the socket, you know, like, silly things like that, but, like, there's a truth sometimes, and, like, when you tap into that understanding of, like, asking God, like,
Hey God, I just wanted to ask you, is there something that I should know about that I'm really not, like, getting here or understanding, because I'm running into a lot of confliction with people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just sit in that stillness and, like, either it'll come to you through picture, movie, whatever. And, you know, I definitely believe, like, God will reveal that to you in your five senses, whether it's touch, feel, smell, hear, and you'll receive that and you'll be like, oh, okay, this is what I need to work
mm-hmm.
on. So I just want to comment on that. That's how I found it for myself.
Yeah.
If that helps at all.
And we're always to be asking God to remove those things. God might use community. He might use somebody else to say, hey, I've noticed this. And sometimes it can be really healing. Like when I was a music minister years and years ago, and my self-esteem wasn't very high. And so I would just look down when I would walk down the hallway, and people thought I was ignoring them or didn't like them, which I'd never intended to put that across. It had to do with my own sense of self. And someone's like, people don't think that you like them because you don't say hi. And it was like, I matter to people. Huh. I can actually hold my head up and say hello to people because they want to have a relationship with me. And it was my own warped image, but it was something that was beneficial to me, that someone took the courage to call out and be able to help me raise up to what God had, you know, created me to be. So Christ was all about loving relationships. And so, you know, to kind of wrap this up, I need to look at myself first and be building relationships and allow God to open up those opportunities. The last part, he talks about balancing love with discernment. And Matthew 7:6 says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If they do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So there is a time for words of truth. This could mean correction, wisdom, sharing the good news of the gospel. And again, Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. And I can trust someone's compliments a whole lot more if I know that they're going to call me out on difficult stuff. I know that their compliments are going to be real. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. And if God's been working in me to remove my blind spots, he may use me to help someone else who's struggling in theirs. And there's also a time to hold your tongue and walk away. Giving pearls of wisdom or correction should not be given to some people. If someone is obstinate, argumentative, or contemptuous, it's not really beneficial to talk with them about pearls of wisdom or admonition. Sometimes people aren't open to the gospel, and those aren't the times to be able to share that, and that's okay. So this is where the comment section in some of the social media comes up. I have never seen a resolution of or healthy dialogue about an issue in the comment section. Usually it's like lobbing opinions at one another. So that's not really the place to try to win someone over, because there's no relationship there. There's no context. It's just a screen in between you and them. And so that's kind of a modern example of where not to throw out pearls, because it may not be received well. But if I have a relationship with someone and God is encouraging me to share something, then I should share that in that situation. But if someone's going to be argumentative and contemptuous, it might not be the time. They may not be ready for it. They may not be willing to receive it. And that's, there might be another time that that's okay to do. So I wanted to just share briefly about my own experience. So I'm really passionate about this because I was raised in the church and I was born to be a Pharisee. My character, my qualities, all that kind of stuff. I was a rule follower. I loved the idea of right and wrong. I was a people pleaser. And so I wanted to do whatever I needed to do to make sure I was right with the church, right with the church leaders. And I would follow hook, line, and sinker everything that was said. And then because I was doing all of the right things, then I had this attitude of superiority that made me feel better. And then I would look down at other people. So there was people that were above me that I was trying to please and live up to. And there were people that were below me that I would be judgmental and condemning towards. And I lived my life that way for decades. And the internal result for me was I lived in a lot of condemnation, a lot of internal judgment, and I never really felt connected to God because he was always one-upping what I needed to do in order to be pleasing to him. So I knew in my head that scripture said that God loved me, but I didn't know it personally in my heart because there was always this works-based mentality that I was living life out of. I didn't realize that my judgment was, and my comparison was creating a barrier, but in 2011, I joined a group called Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian-based recovery group. And in that, I started as a recovering Pharisee. I said, God, I know that I have a judgmental attitude. I know I don't love people like I should. And scripture says that he who loves much has been forgiven much. And I really didn't know what I needed to be forgiven of because I'd been raised in the church and I was doing everything right. And in that process, God showed me in a gracious way where I needed to take the plank out of my own eye. And I spent many years working with people to be able to remove my own stuff. And just by that process, I started to become less judgmental towards myself because I realized I can't attain God's love and God's grace by my own works. That method doesn't work. And I set that stuff aside and became humble and realized I can't do this alone. I need to entirely depend on God for righteousness, for salvation, for anything good that I do comes from my relationship with Christ. And through that process, about, I would say, 2016 or so, when he was convicting me of envy in comparison, because I lived in so much envy of other people, wanting what they had, thinking that I didn't have the right life, and, you know, woe is me. And God's like, no, you need to appreciate what you have, live in gratitude, and thank God for what he's doing in other people's lives. And so I worked on letting go of that. And there was like this transformation where head knowledge filtered down to heart knowledge to where I fully understood for the first time. Sorry. God loved me.
It's okay.
And as you can see, that was a huge so, so God wants us to, I believe God wants us to stop living in comparison, stop living in judgment, and live in grace and mercy and truth, because those two are synonymous. They can't be separated. If I live grace without truth, that leads to all kinds of chaos, and I mean, we've seen the world that lives without truth. But if I live in truth without grace, I'm pushing everybody away from me, I'm pushing God away from me, and I can't really have a decent view of myself because I'm always doing the things that I'm judging other people for. So I wanted to give an opportunity for you guys to come together in small groups and pray together. I don't know if you struggle with the judgmental part or if you've been on the receiving end of judgment from the church. And if you have been, I want to apologize for the church's actions. We are fallen people that are still a work in process. It doesn't make it okay, but we are still a work in process. So giving us forgiveness and grace and allowing us to live in humility and grace towards you. So if you wanted to just break off in a couple of maybe two or three or four people, if you have prayer requests or needs that you have that you want to share with somebody else, please feel free to do that. But I just wanted to give it an opportunity for people to get together and just have community and communion.